Blog Talk Radio.
I know radio probably ain't gonna play this, but chopper going off in the hood, man, like Afghanistan or the Gaza Strip somewhere, man. Yeah. We hear so much, we probably know them to it by now. After all, it's the American way, right?
Home of the brave and free.
It's America.
Free just to murder me.
Land of the handgun.
Land of the beautiful.
Home of the shotgun.
Cursed by the hate we throw.
You're dead if you ain't got one. You said it the home of the brave, I guess. I said it the home of the K's and the vet. All alone with the J's, poking yay, cause it's stress. On call with the test, something spray for respect. I learned from the bed, you the same in the jet. Brought word from the vets, burning rubber in the vet. This is good as it gets, you to play with the rat. Then I got older and learned, stay away from the wreck. God bless you, nigga. The hustle up and make eight figures. Turn from a goon to a great young nigga. Don't complain what you doing with a tape, young nigga. I was raised in the decade to hate, young nigga. I would dodge your police because they hate, young nigga. And we hate them too. 38 in them shoes. How to change the system or take him through. He ain't a killer, but he will if you make him. Do a homicide here, right there, put him on trial. Let him have a life in it, then do it with a smile. And he only 19, he ain't even had a challenge. The child told him, mama, he'll be gone for a while. And she cried, see her, did you put him inside? Now she all on her own, cause her other son died. Listen to the politician as he lied, and he lied. He a snake in the suit, trying to hide in the sky.
Home of the brave and free.
Well, damn, officer, what I do?
Free just to murder me.
Now, hold on, man, don't shoot, I live over there.
Land of the beautiful.
Hey, man, what you doing, man?
Cursed by the hate we throw.
How many times did that happen to you? What the fuck you know about being a black man in America? And you wonder why we walk around strapped? Fuck is you saying?
Hey.
For the stars and the stripes, and the bars in the pipe. Young nigga rolling weed and a cigar he could light. Bang red, either blue, selling hard in the white. Live by the gun, never run from a fight. Trayvon in the hoodie, walking through a neighborhood. He didn't do shit to buddy, he didn't have to die, did he? I guess because his dad was a judge in the city. They didn't want him in the pen with the thug that could get him. A jury of his peers said all were forgiven. The cup on the mind, right or wrong, I'ma kill him. Fill him with the lead, like to put Martin Luther King here. Like to kill Mac-a-Met, Edgar Hoover did, yeah. You can catch me in the hood where they shoot niggas at. They don't know if neighborhood or the Hoover did, yeah. Well, the Pyrus, the VLs, the GDs, with me, we down the upright from the OG.
Home of the brave and free.
Don't get it fucked up.
Free just to murder.
If you ain't found something you're willing to die for, you ain't fit to live.
Land of the beautiful.
To get something you never had, you must be willing to do something you never done.
The hate we throw.
I'ma die by mine.
Is this the
new America? Over the prisoner, more than the people who got to keep the children from becoming prisoners. That makes sense. Tell me why 9 ounces of crack get you more time than a rate right now. Tell me why them crazy white boys just tow the gun, but I can't right now. Yeah, I had felonies, I done did dirt in the street, but I ain't never gave to nobody that deserve it. You know what I mean? I ain't never ran no public play with no pistol shooting no innocent people. I ain't never ran no school killing no kids. Man, this is a result of you refusing to deal with the issues at hand. Product of the environment you place us in. We ain't do it. We just live through it.
Home of the brave and free.
Got a message to my people.
Free just to murder.
Stop waiting on folk to help you. Help yourself. Start
land
with you.
Of the beautiful.
Get yourself out. Reach back. Get somebody
cursed
else out.
By the hate we throw. Is this the
new? And that's the way we gon' get ahead, man. Sitting around waiting on the government to do something for us ain't gon' never happen. Part of don't give a fuck about us. Hell is you doing?
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful, all holy praises are forever due to Master Fard Muhammad, that beautiful human being that traveled 9,000 miles on his lonesome to seek, save, and assist a people whom no divine guidance had come to prior. We are forever thankful to him for raising the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the man who, if he did not sacrifice, there would be no such thing as black consciousness. and I would be remiss in my duties if I did not thank the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because without him I would know nothing of the two aforementioned. It is in their holy, righteous, noble, and honorable names that I would like to greet the beautiful guests that are listening in the Nation Salutation Words of Peace in Paradise. We say it in the language of our ancestors, Assalamu Alaikum. Dear family, we have a very, very beautiful episode lined up for you all this evening. Quite naturally, it's controversial. It's going to step on some toes. But if it pleases Almighty God Allah, the truth will be said, and inshallah, eyes will be opened. Now, before I get further into the subject matter, I want to start, as I always do, by giving thanks to the Initiative Radio, Brother Maurice, Sister Pamela, for believing in their little brother and being so hands-on with their little brother as I learned the ropes of Blog Talk Radio. It is truly a blessing and a humbling experience to be a part of such a wonderful network. So this evening, dear friend, we have taken up the subject matter, who is able to negotiate for blacks? This is a question that I'm posing because, as I would imagine we all know by now, many famous black people have been meeting with the now 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. And I want to start off by saying that I am a person that doesn't have anything against a black person meeting with Donald Trump. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. Individuals are free to do whatever they want to. My issue and my concern, as I'm sure is the issue and concern of many other black people, is what exactly is being discussed in these meetings. What exactly is coming into fruition because of these meetings? We're going to get more to that, but I want to get into this clip. And it's kind of long. It's 18 minutes. But I want us to listen very, very carefully, because in this clip, we are going to be introduced into the mindset of these individuals that have met and are meeting with Donald Trump. It is an interview from our brother Roland Martin that took place earlier last year, and we will see how many of our brothers that are going into these meetings, their mindset that they are having. So please listen very, very carefully, and we are going to get right into the subject matter after this wonderful video. So at this time, can we please play the clip?
Nearly 100 black pastors met with Donald Trump yesterday at Trump Towers in New York. It was all about his presidential campaign. Of course, this was after a week of drama where initially they were supposed to meet, supposed to endorse Trump. Then they got criticism, then they backed off of that. Then they still had the meeting. So what actually took place? Was it actually worthy of anything in particular? There was a brief media scrum after they met, and here was Donald Trump standing with a few of them.
I thought it was an amazing meeting. I thought that I met some fantastic people, some of whom I've known. I thought it was an absolutely amazing. You know, it lasted for 2.5 hours. We came up with lots of good ideas and lots of future ideas, but I thought it was an amazing meeting.
And how did you address some of the concerns that were raised?
Well, I think we'll be addressing them over the coming months and even over the coming years. I mean, these are deep-seated difficulties that certain communities have, and we're going to address them. And if I'm put in a position where I can do something about them, which in this case happens to be president, we will be working very, very closely with everybody. And we're going to be solving a lot of problems. Right now, you have black youth. If you look at African-American youth, where it's 51 and 55 and 57% unemployed, you have African-American people of different ages where it's double and triple other numbers. So we're looking at a lot of different things. But this meeting was amazing, amazing people. We must have had close to 100 people in the room.
All right, but one thing I have not heard out of the meeting, actual policy. Joining us right now is someone who was actually in the room, and that is joining us via Skype from Richmond, Virginia, Dr. Steve Parson with the Richmond Christian Center. Dr. Parson, glad to have you here. First and foremost, you had a number of folks who were there. We heard the soundbite there. What specifically, in terms of policy or agenda items, was discussed that Donald Trump committed to the pastors in the room?
Well, actually, as we said in the tape, you know, we spoke with about a number of different things. Now, if you're talking about specifically about the economy, he did bring up the fact of bringing the manufacturers and large companies that have left the United States and gone overseas. He was going to give them incentives and bring them back to the United States. And of course, as they come back, they will also bring back jobs. Okay, he also mentioned about taxes. You know, that the taxes, you know, the poor would not be taxed. And
Hold on one more second. We say the poor would not be taxed. How so?
Yeah, in other words, if you have a certain lesser amount of income, then you'd have less taxes, if any.
Yeah, but actually, you look at right now the tax code, that's actually how it exists right now. If you're actually poor in America, you're actually getting more money back as opposed to actually paying taxes. So what is his specific tax plan as it relates to folks who are poor?
Right. Well, you said it. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is. What really caught my attention is the fact that he was going to produce jobs.
How?
Jobs. Well, one of the things that I suggested, the fact that he's a billionaire businessman, and businesses, jobs come from people who are in business. He has the ability to create wealth and create businesses. He also has a book, you know, a couple books out, Why We Want You Rich, you know, and he's going to encourage the black American, especially, to entrepreneurship.
But here's my question. Here's my question, Pastor. In 2008, African American businesses received 8.2% to 8.2% of all small business loans in America. In 2013, the number went down to 1.7%. $23.09 billion in small business loans given out in 2013. Black folks got $385 million. And so, what did Donald Trump specifically say about getting capital to black-owned businesses?
So let me just share this. Okay, I personally don't believe that it's the government's responsibility to provide jobs for people. I believe that's something that's the people's responsibility.
So, Pastor, if that's the case, then if Donald Trump is president, how would he then do that? Because he wouldn't be a businessman; he would be president. And so, if he is saying as president, I can create jobs as the government, but you're saying the government can't create jobs. That's an oxymoron.
I said that I personally don't believe that it's the government's responsibility to create jobs. I believe it is the government's responsibility to help the private sector and help the people, especially black people, create their own jobs. Because after all, I will tell you this, the black community, we have the fewest of any ethnic race in America that are self-employed or owned.
Own
a business.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. First of all, there are 1.9 million black-owned businesses in America. 1.8 million of those have zero employees. Black women start businesses at a faster rate than anybody else. But I specifically asked you about capital, and that is, did he say anything about how he would drive more capital to black-owned businesses, not only to start businesses, but also to grow scale?
Oh, so what you're actually talking about is giving us capital.
What I'm talking about is, and I cited a very clear, a very specific stat, and that is in 2008, under President George W. Bush, 8.2% of all small business loans went to African Americans. In 2013, because of the home foreclosure crisis, that number went down to about 1.7%. So what I'm saying is, as president, what policies will he put in place to drive the Small Business Administration, to drive the Department of Commerce, Department of Treasury, to ensure that African Americans are being able to access capital?
Yeah, well, actually, he didn't get into the details of that, but the whole meeting was about doing that.
But I still don't understand, Pastor. This is just me, okay? Because I question Hillary Clinton when we're in South Carolina.
What I'm saying is, ask me questions and then give me the opportunity to answer it rather than cutting me off and
okay.
Question. I was like, so what I said was that meeting, And you couldn't talk about everything in the meeting because there was other things that were brought up. What I did speak about, and he spoke about doing whatever is necessary to help the inner city, to help the minorities create their own businesses, which create jobs. So
okay.
He did.
Let me ask you this question. 53% of black wealth was wiped out due to the home foreclosure crisis between 2007 and present day. Did that issue of black home foreclosure, did that come up in yesterday's meeting?
Did not come up.
Okay. You have significant. So if you talk about wealth creation and you're meeting with somebody who's in real estate and made their money with housing, and we know that African Americans, most Americans, wealth creation is established through home ownership. How did that not come up?
No, because wealth creation is not only established through housing.
No.
Wealth is established by knowing what to do to create wealth.
No, Reverend, I'm sorry. You're absolutely wrong. In America, historically, wealth has been created largely through home ownership. That's a fact. Now, as somebody who is primarily focused on housing in my career as a city hall reporter and a county government reporter, what I'm trying to understand is if you know, as an African American, black folks have largely created wealth primarily through home ownership, and you saw 53% of all black wealth wiped out due to home foreclosure crisis, and the reason we get less capital because of small businesses, because no home, no loan, no collateral. I'm trying to understand, how could you be in a meeting as a pastor with somebody who's a real estate developer who's made his money through housing and housing not come up?
Well, because that's not the only way that he's created his wealth through housing or real estate. But what I'm telling you is this, is that what the African and black American community needs, first of all, want to do is create your own businesses and generate your own capital.
Okay, Reverend, no disrespect. But let me be perfectly clear here. If you don't have wealth, if you don't have a stack of dollars to start your own business, like in the case of Donald Trump, where his daddy gave him millions to start a business, if you don't have that, Reverend, then you largely have the one piece of collateral that you can utilize to go get a small business loan, which is your home equity. And so, as a result, in the last 7 years, when black folks have lost their homes, they have been unable to then go get a loan to start a business because they have no collateral. So if you have no home, no loan, no business. And so I'm trying to understand, if I'm meeting with a presidential candidate and housing is a major issue for African Americans, gentrification, major issue, renting versus owning, how does that not come up out of all those pastors?
This is why. It's because other things came up.
Such
and at the same time, let me just say this. See, first of all, as a minister, I believe that the Lord has given us the power to get wealth. You understand? So that's something that comes from the inside. We as a people have to actually believe that we can be business owners rather than having, well, is somebody going to give me a job? Because, you know, they might not give you a job. Then what you going to do?
Let me ask you this question, Pastor. We know that in African Americans who have a college degree, they have a lesser chance of getting a job than white with a high school diploma. We also know that African Americans overwhelmingly support the issue of charter schools and also vouchers. Did that come up in yesterday's meeting?
No, didn't have time for that. Because other things were coming up.
Okay, hold up. So I need you to help me, Pastor. I'm being very serious here. If housing didn't come up, if education didn't come up, what did you talk about for 2.5 hours?
It did come up. But it's not the kind of education that teaches you to go to school, get your education, get your degree so that you can get a job and then work for the people that gave you the job and then you'd be fortunate if you got enough at retirement. We talked about financial education. Financial literacy that teaches you how to understand money and how to create businesses which create jobs. You see, so that's the kind of education that came up. Are you with?
We're looking at the issue of social justice all across this country. We're looking at police officers in the case of Chicago who has been charged with killing Laquan McDonald. We see Tamir Rice in Cleveland. We see Freddie Gray. What was discussed yesterday when it comes to criminal justice? Did Donald Trump make any commitments as it related to supporting initiatives by Campaign Zero, Black Lives Matter, or others when it comes to criminal justice?
If this is what came up. What came up was that it's not so much as far as the have not, it's the ones who know and the ones who know not.
Pastor, first of all, is there? I hear a loud buzz. Is that your cell phone or what is that? I hear a very loud buzz, so it's stopping me from hearing you.
Okay, yeah, the phone's going off the chart right now. Yeah, that's the cell phone.
Okay, let me.
First of all, slow down. Okay, tell me, slow down.
Well, actually, Pastor, first of all, we've been talking for 13 minutes, and so I might talk fast, but as my son folks say, you've got to listen fast. But go ahead with your comment.
Most of the talking, okay? So what I'm saying is income inequality basically is those who know what to do and those who don't know what to do, okay? And basically education is a strong part in being able to have the wisdom and the knowledge to be able to start businesses.
Okay, but Pastor, I'm asking you a question about the issue of criminal justice. What was discussed policy-wise? Did Donald Trump make any commitments as it related to the issue of criminal justice? Did he back body cameras? Did he back an independent prosecutor in the cases where officers actually shoot and kill someone? Did he actually take any position on mandatory minimums? Did he take any position when it comes to reducing the crack and powder cocaine disparity?
No. What came up was is that the injustices that were being done and how he was going to do something to as far as the bad police.
How? You know, so he said he was going to do something. What did he say he was going to do?
Training came up, you know, in the discussion where one of the ministers mentioned about training, or he mentioned about training. The officers need to have better training, okay? And that he would do whatever he can to bring justice, okay? But at the same time, this is only a two-hour meeting. We had 109 pastors. A number of pastors were sharing their concerns and mentioning things and asking questions. So it wasn't really that much time to be able to put in a specific policy.
Pastor, here's what I don't understand, Pastor. Okay, Pastor Parson, I got to be very honest with you. I moderated a one-hour and 10-minute town hall with Hillary Clinton. I opened up with 15 minutes of questions. I literally covered more policy in 5 minutes than you described in 15 minutes of a 2.5 hour meeting with Donald Trump. So here's my deal. I don't have a problem with black pastors meeting with anybody. Donald Trump, I've had Rand Paul on this show. I've had Lindsey Graham on this show. I've had Ben Carson on this show. But I haven't heard a single thing policy-wise that you've uttered that was actually discussed with Donald Trump that black folks literally can say, oh, I actually heard something tangible that I can actually go back and chew on other than financial literacy.
Yeah, well, just give it time then, okay? Just give it time. I know Hillary's not having any meetings with any black ministers.
You're actually wrong. You're wrong. And Senator Rand Paul has met with black pastors. This is not the first time a Republican candidate has met with black pastors. So
I will say this. For a Republican to get 109 black ministers, I'm telling you, that's almost a miracle.
Actually, it's not a miracle because Texas Governor George W. Bush did the exact same thing. So this is not the first time this actually happened.
Okay, well, as you do know, up until Trump, 95% of African Americans are liberal Democrats. Is that correct?
No, first of all, that's the presidential campaign. But what I also know is when Governor Mike Huckabee ran in Arkansas, he got 48% of the black vote. I also know that when Senator George Voinovich ran for not only for Cleveland mayor, but governor of Ohio and U.S. senator, he got 40% of the black vote. So, look, I understand politics. I understand what has happened on state, local, and national level. The point here is this here. What does somebody talk about when they meet with black folks. And what I'm saying, Pastor, I've listened to you. I've seen the periscopes. I've seen other interviews. And what I've heard is, oh, it was great and wonderful. There was lots of love in the room. But I haven't heard Jack, that something that is substantive, that somebody can say, oh, I can latch onto that, and now I'm hearing something that's policy-oriented. Did you? My last question for you. Did you at least leave the meeting with a commitment of Trump saying, I'm going to put these issues on paper and present it to you, take back to your congregations?
Oh, no, he didn't specifically say it in those words, but basically he said it in spirit, that he's going to commit to continuing to work with the black American community,
okay,
to address the issues that are our issues.
Okay,
are you with me? This is just the beginning of him working.
Got it.
With us in order to make America great.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the deal. I look forward to more of these conversations, but I look more forward to actually having substantive policy that you can actually talk about, as opposed to, hey, sort of is, well, I'm going to work on some stuff, because that's just way too general. Black folks don't have time for working on some stuff. We actually need to hear something substantive. So, Pastor Parsons, we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
But we need to hear what we can do, not what somebody can do for us.
Actually, no, we need to hear both. Because if somebody's saying they're going to be president, I can guarantee you when he met with the white evangelicals, there was some real discussion about policy. When he meets with bankers, they discuss policy. When he meets with the real estate folks and lawyers and doctors, they talk in policy, not just stuff.
Yeah, Pastor, I'm sure he has the ability, and he will be doing that in future meetings with
okay.
us.
Okay. Well, I certainly hope you all just sit down with black media and we can actually ask these questions so the audience can hear versus what happens behind closed doors. Pastor Parsons, we appreciate it. Thank you so very much.
Kickstart your day at 7 and get the news you need from the perspective you want. News One Now with Roland Martin every weekday morning at 7 on TV One.
All praises are definitely due to Allah. For those that may just be tuning in or tuning in during the interview, that was our brother Roland Martin interviewing one of the pastors that met with Donald Trump when he announced that he was going to be running for president. Just to bring you up to speed on that, there were 100 black pastors that met with Donald Trump over the summer. And, you know, when it was first announced that they would be meeting with him, there was a lot of controversy, so they called the meeting off. And then after they called the meeting off, they put it back on. So a lot of people were very, very upset. A lot of people wanted to know what was going on in that meeting. And for those of you all that were able to listen to that interview, you can see why people have a good reason to be skeptical. Because the pastor that was just not interviewed, he could not present one substantive policy that was discussed in that meeting. Now, anytime you have 100 black pastors in a room with a politician, first of all, there are a lot of black pastors. There are a lot of black imams. There are a lot of black social activists and whatnot. Why is it that these 100 black pastors were chosen? Could it be because the enemy, every time they want to get a vote out of our people, anytime they want to sway opinion amongst our people, they know that they can depend on the black preacher historically to help them lull our people to sleep? Many of us were able to see the film Birth of a Nation. We saw how the slave master, any slave that knew how to read, the slave master would put a Bible in their hand and force them and encourage them to perpetuate the fallacious Christian doctrine that you must obey your masters no matter what they do to you. And that same sick technique is happening today. So, dear family, what we are seeing when these black pastors met with Donald Trump, when our brothers Steve Harvey and Ray Lewis and Jim Brown, et cetera, met with Donald Trump, this is the same thing that is being played over and over again. And we always want to say, out of love, we don't hate our brothers, but we just want to know, if you all are in a meeting with this man, what is it that you all are talking about? And the same thing that is happening is that every time a black person comes out of a meeting with Donald Trump, they come out empty-handed. But they always say, oh, he looked and he sounded sincere. black people's condition is too deplorable and too serious for someone to be looking and sounding sincere, because all the time looks can be deceiving. All the time sounds can be deceiving as well. Before we move further to our program, dear Sister Pamela, I'm interested to get your thoughts on this, Queen.
Assalamualaikum, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, dear Sister. How about yourself?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. I agree with you that, you know, like I said, I don't have any problem with any one of our people that meets with Donald Trump who are really seriously trying to, you know, get our people in a better condition. But I do have a problem with us, those of us who go there and come out with nothing at all, or, you know, no improvement, no kind of plan for our people. So as you say, what are we going at doing? Are we going there and just to say we've been with the so-called president of the United States, or are we going there and really putting, you know, going there with substance, going there with seriousness, and put it to him like it is? So that's what we should be doing. Now he meet to me with the, you know, the brothers thus far that aren't the ones to speak strongly for our people. Why don't he meet with the Mensa Farrakhan of those who represent the Nation of Islam,
mm-hmm.
who would not back down, who would stand up and tell them like it is, and what America owes our people? That's what it should
mm-hmm.
be done. But, of course, you know, they've been paid, you know, by all these entities that they have an interest in. So, therefore, you know, they're not going to bravely and openly and honestly speak to him in the way that he should be spoken to on behalf of our people. So if you're going to go there and go there like a man or a woman and of God and of substance. Don't go there like a weak little pansy and come out, oh, he was great or he was sincere. Do you think he's going to be rude to you? Of course he's not going to be rude to you. You know, that's what Satan does. He's like,
yeah,
I mean, seriously. You know, it's trickery. So therefore, like I said, for those that want to go, if you're going to go in there and take care of business and put it to them straight up and straight out. And with that, brother, I rest my mic.
Absolutely. You know, beautiful, beautiful, dear Sister Pamela. And I'm still looking at a quote from our late great brother Malcolm X. In 1964, in his speech entitled "The Ballot or the Bullet," he says, quote, "The first thing the white racist does when he comes to power, he takes all of the Negro leaders and invites them for coffee to show that he
mm-hmm.
is all right. And those Uncle Toms can't pass up the coffee. They come away
mm.
from the coffee table telling you and me that this man is all right. You cannot tell me that is not exactly what is going on. Donald Trump calls on
yeah.
the Negroes, and you know what's so beautiful about this? A brother put it so plain. He said, if you notice, you can tell what Donald Trump thinks of black people by the kind of blacks that he is inviting to meet with him. He has
right.
not invited, he has not asked the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to have a meeting with him. He hasn't asked Professor Griff or Zaza Ali or Sister Soldier or what's the brother with who's with the new Black Panther Party, Malik Zulu Shabazz. He hasn't asked any of these uncompromising blacks to meet
right.
with him. But you meet with
mm-hmm.
entertainers, you'll meet with pastors, and you'll meet with retired NFL players. That goes to show you that he doesn't think highly of black people. He's in his mind,
mm-hmm.
he said, that's Kanye West. He has millions of black followers. So maybe if I can get him, I can get young black people support. Oh, there's Ray Lewis. A lot of people looked up to him when he was playing football. Oh, there goes Jim Brown. There goes that older crowd of black people that I can go after. There goes Steve Harvey. He makes black people laugh. Let me invite him in. You see, he thinks so little of us that he invites
mm-hmm.
entertainers to speak supposedly on our behalf. And that's why the question is posed. That's why I posed the question. Who is able to negotiate for black people? We love Brother Steve Harvey. We love Brother Ray Lewis. We love Brother Jim
Brown.
That's right. We love the black pastors, but they are not qualified, and they are not in a position to negotiate for black people, because you can't negotiate for black people unless you know what's in the best interest of black people, and you can't know what's in the best interest of black people unless you've been working among us for a period of years, and they have not been doing that. They have not been doing that. We love them, and we respect them to the utmost. But at the end of the day, the liberation of our people takes precedence over anyone or anything. And we are saying to the world that Steve Harvey, Kanye West, those 100 black pastors, Ray Lewis or Jim Brown are not qualified, and they don't have the juice necessary to negotiate for black people in the hills of North America.
Praise be to Allah, beautiful brother. And you do have questions at this time. Sir.
All praises are definitely due to Allah. And they're going into these meetings and they're coming out empty-handed. We're not saying that we expect you to go in there and when you come out, black people are just free. It ain't gonna never be that easy. But what we're saying is stop going before your enemy without a plan. Stop going in front of your enemy begging. We are in a position by Almighty God, Allah, grace and mercy, to make a demand. What our people have been through, it commands that we are able to make a demand. Okay? So who is able to negotiate for black? Who? The definition of who is what or which person or people able, having the power, skill, means, or opportunity to do something. And negotiate means to obtain or bring about a discussion. The definition of all these words comes back to qualifications. Are you qualified? Do you have the qualifications necessary to negotiate on behalf of black people? From my understanding, as the sister just told me, we do have questions. We would like to get into those at this time.
Yes, sir, we definitely do. We had one from the first one we have, and I must go in order to be fair. Let me make sure I get this right. Flycatch. His question was, what exactly do you expect Trump to do for the black Americans?
All praise to Allah. We don't expect him to do anything. I expect from Trump about as much as I expect from his 44 predecessors. This isn't about what Trump can do for black people. This is about our people going to Trump without a plan. And the reality of the situation is that we have been taught by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that whether they do justice to us or not, Allah is ultimately going to bring about justice for the black man and woman. So it's not about what we expect from Trump. It's about what we expect from our people. And I think that what you will find with me personally is that I like to deal with us. I don't like to deal with what the enemy will or won't do, because at the end of the day, I believe in a power that is so great that it makes the power that we think the enemy has really nothing at all. So do I expect Donald Trump to free black people? Absolutely not. But what I do expect is that if any of our people are going to meet with him, at least have the dignity and the self-respect to meet with him bearing a plan that could be effective.
Yes, sir. Praise be to God. Okay, your next question is from our dear brother, Black Godhead. And his first question is, why would he ask them Negroes, why would you put them in the same sentence with Farrakhan? Zaza is on a level with Farrakhan? Are you serious?
All praise is due to Allah. I never put anybody on the level of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. I said, why won't Donald Trump meet with blacks like Sister Zaza Lee? like Minister Farrakhan and I, was speaking in the context of black people that are relentless in their pursuit of black liberation. That is what I said, and that is what I meant. The reality of the situation is that there's nobody on the planet that is on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Well, you say something is like something, it doesn't mean that it is exactly tick for tack, but their spirit and their love for black people is very, very similar in the sense that they want to see us free. So Donald Trump will never meet with any black like that, whether it be a black man or a black woman.
Yes, sir. The next question from Black God here is, the only person who is qualified to speak for black people at the table is Farrakhan. That is it. Look, I love Brother Muhammad, but even him, I don't think he is able to get us justice from the table.
All praise be to Allah, and I absolutely agree with you. Again,
mm-hmm.
I never said that anybody's on Minister Farrakhan's level, and I never said that anybody other than Minister Farrakhan is able to negotiate for black people. What I said, and I will reiterate, is that Donald Trump, why hasn't he met with blacks like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, blacks like Sister Zaza Lee, blacks like Sister Soldier, blacks like Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz? And if you look at the commonality between all of those blacks, all of them love our people, and they are not willing to compromise the liberation of our people. Ultimately, we know that at the end of the day, the only person that has the juice and the power to sit before the enemy and not beg him for a damn thing, but rather demand and tell him or else, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And his other statement is, to get justice at the table, Brother Muhammad is a hothead sometimes, but he is committed to us. But we have to have a skilled statesman that is Farrakhan only, in my humble thinking. Thank you. And his next, wait a second, okay. Oh, his next question or statement is, give me a second. That's the train if you're hearing anything. It says from Black God here, how do you know Zaza is like, I'm sorry, how do you know, I guess, who Zaza is like, that she has talked against Farrakhan? Okay. Did you understand it?
I'll praise you to Allah. I do believe that I've answered this question a few times, but I don't mind answering it again for the third time. As I said before, the only person that can negotiate for black people here in the hills of North America is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What I said was, and I will say it again, is that why won't Donald Trump meet with blacks like Sister Zaza Lee? Why will he meet with blacks like Sister Soldier or like Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz or like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan? I'm speaking in the context of black people that love their people and are not willing to compromise the liberation of their people for anyone or anything. I follow Sister Zaza's work on Facebook, on YouTube. She is a warrior for our people. I do not believe that she has the power to negotiate with the enemy for our people. But when I say, why won't Donald Trump speak with blacks like that, it is because I know that he is not interested ultimately in facing blacks like that. He would much rather have blacks that want to go along, to get along, that want a place in this society. But there's a large demographic of our people that want nothing to do with this system. And when we start talking about separation as opposed to integration, that's when the enemy really starts getting taken aback.
Okay, yes, sir. For those who may, excuse me, they would like to ask a question, that are on the phone. You may push one at any time, and we will bring you definitely in. Another question, brother. Zulu has dissed Farrakhan on Facebook in front of the world. Are you serious? Have you lost your mind?
Could you repeat the question?
I'm sorry. Zulu, Z-U-L-U, has dissed Mr. Farrakhan on Facebook in front of the world. Are you serious? Have you lost your mind? That's the statement that he wrote.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
All praises. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll definitely answer that statement. You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has a heart that is so beautiful, and he has a heart that allows him to take so much from our people without ever getting down in the dirt with them. Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz is not the first, and I'm sure he won't be the last brother of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to diss him. But the reality of the situation is that if the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has not returned like for like, then there is no way in heaven or hell that me, being much less than him, is going to do that. So, yes, Malik Zulu Shabazz has said negative things about Minister Farrakhan. So has Umar Johnson. So has many others. But I've never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say anything bad about people. So me striving to be a good student of his, I could never come up behind him and do the and do that.
Yes, sir. Praise be to God. Okay. The next question is from Black Godhead, and then we may have to go to the phone for a bit. Is you said, quote, hold on, ma. He's writing as my computer is moving. Give me a second, please. Okay. Quote, you said, Zaza, Sister Soldier, Professor Ziff, why would he meet with them? Why would you say people who have this Farrakhan in the public, then say they are qualified other black people? I think you just answered that question at the, just as a minute ago, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct, sir?
Absolutely.
Okay. And the next statement, brother, we are talking about people representing us. How can you say they love black people? How can you say they love black people then?
All praises be to Allah. The reality of the situation is that none of us are perfect. Some of us are proficient in areas that others are deficient in, and vice versa. Sometimes we'll say things out of the way all of us have done it, whether we've done it in public or private, is neither here nor there. But the reality is that all of us have flaws. And just because you're in front of the people, just because you may have influence over the people, that does not mean that you too will not have flaws. As I've said, I've never heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say anything bad about our brothers and sisters that have dissed him out in the open, and that's just a testament to his beautiful heart and soul. And I'm nowhere near the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan level, so it would be very, very unbecoming of me, who is trying to be a good student of his, to turn around and do something that he would never in a million years do. So, I'm going to say this. Any questions or comments pertaining to why would I say that Malik Zulu Shabazz or any other that may have dissed Minister Farrakhan is influential among our people, I will not answer those questions. I think I've made it very, very clear that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan does not return like for like against his own people, and neither will I on this radio show.
Yes, sir. Thanks for doing that. Okay, let me see. Do we have any calls? Thank you for your questioning, brother. Let me see. Hold on. The brother. Okay, give me a second. Brother, I know the brother's asked me, he would like to know also, Brother Maurice, insight on these questions. But at the moment, Brother Maurice is not available. Hopefully, he may be able to join us. In a bit before the show is over. But you are welcome, sir. So he said, oh, okay, thank you, Brother Marcellus, for answering the question. And let me make sure we don't have anyone online waiting. Okay. If anyone would like to make a comment, please push one at this time. Thank you.
All praise are definitely due to Allah. We thank everybody for their beautiful questions and their comments. We want your interaction. Praise be to Allah. So, you know, as we continue to discuss who is able to negotiate for us, I want to turn our attention for those of us that may be students of the Bible or, you know, have familiarity with it, to the account of Moses and the children of Israel. You know, Moses went under the title of prophet. But when you think of what a prophet bears a message, bears advice, and they always go before the enemy of the people whom they are sent to with a warning. So another name for a prophet is a negotiator. When Moses said, let my people go, he was negotiating between Pharaoh and Jehovah. And like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, anytime there is a servant that has been raised up among the people, he is always accompanied with a threat. And the person that can fulfill the threat is the person that gave him the threat to give to the enemy. And that is none other than Almighty God Allah. So when you look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, this is a man that is before the enemy, and he is accompanied with a threat. And that threat is, if you don't give justice to the black man and woman, then Almighty God Allah is going to destroy your world. And the enemy cannot check the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on that. They know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is no joke. You see, we might take the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for a game. But the enemy who studies the Bible and studies the Quran and their messianic lodges, they know who Minister Farrakhan is, and they know what is coming to them. They know why California in some parts is as dry as an alligator's back. They know why all of these tornadoes are coming out of nowhere. They know why all of this rain, hail, snow, and sleet, and why the temperatures are rising and dropping seemingly overnight. They know that they are being judged. They don't have to wonder why they're being judged. They're being judged because they have not given justice to Almighty God Allah's chosen people. So what he's saying to the world, what he's saying to the enemy, is that if you don't give justice to my people, my God is going to kill all of you.
Yes, sir. You're absolutely right, brother. Absolutely right. And that's the thing, that we as a people, by the grace of Allah, I just pray that we wake up in time and, you know, realize who do we have in our midst, which is Louis Farrakhan. He is fighting on all of his people's behalf, regardless of our foolishness, because we are foolish a lot of times. We have to understand the man of God that God has placed to fight that war for us against Satan and the establishment defense. And so, the brother, you know, I would say humbly, take heed of the brother and listen to him. Don't let anyone else, you know, color your mind or give you this perception. Look and listen for yourself. And if there's something that you can take from him that will help you to better your life or your loved ones, then do it, because now is the time. And that what this election is all about. That's why Trump won. He will show you who and what that the open enemy, how they really are, and that's the truth of it. So this is a great time for us, as well as it can be a dreadful time. It depends on the decision that we make, and that's why he had the series. I'm speaking of the Minister Louis Farrakhan, of the time and what must be done. And I would say to revisit those lectures on the on YouTube, because he has explained to us what we can do and what we have to do to survive. And with that, I digress.
All praise to Allah. Absolutely, dear sister. At this time, We're going to go on a brief break, and when we get back, we will continue to expound on is able to negotiate for black people.
Peace and blessings, family. My name is Pamela Muhammad, and this is the Initiative Radio Network. Our program lineup is as follows. On Sundays at 3 p.m., we have Remnant Peculiar Israelites, hosted by Sister Shamika. On Mondays at 8 p.m., we have Keeping It Live Radio, hosted by Sister Phyllis. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., we have the Aunt Canary Experience, hosted by Brother Anthony. On Wednesdays at 8 p.m., we have Who Did It To You? Roundtable Discussion with yours truly, Pamela Muhammad, Brother Dr. James Jones, and moderated by Brother Maurice Muhammad. On Thursdays at 8 p.m., we have Global Outreach, hosted by Sister Rhonda Michelle. And on Fridays at 9 p.m., we have Just Us Creating Economic Self-Sufficiency, hosted by Brother John. We believe at the Initiative Radio Network that we must create an environment where we can do for self and go to war against anybody who comes against what we decide to build. Trust and believe. We love you, black people, and we are giving our lives to make you free. Truth has come to you.
All praises are due to Allah. For those that may just be tuning in, we are having a great edition of Joshua Generation Speaks. The subject matter is who is able to negotiate for black people. At this time, if you are a caller on the line and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, all you have to do is press 1, and we will be more than happy to bring you in so that way you can ask your question or make your comment. At this time, dear Sister Pamela, do we have any questions or comments in the chat room?
Okay, we have. Definitely we have some visitors here. But someone is typing a question, but they have not. Hold on. Give me a second. Okay, yes, we have one. From Frankie, I believe. Pronouncing that right. His question is, who will negotiate for some group of black American citizens, their local, state, and federal elected officials?
Could you repeat that there, sister?
Yes, sir. Who will negotiate for some group of black American citizens? And then it says, their local, state, federal elected officials. It's basically, he's asking a question, and then, I don't know, he didn't put a question mark, so I don't know if he's asking the question, and then, you know, and answering himself, because that's kind of what it looks like to me. Or, you know, okay. So I'm kind of confused on how it was worded, but that's your question, brother. And then the statement is, let me say it again, who will negotiate for some group of black American citizens? Question mark. Then it says, their local, state, and federal elected officials, period.
All praise due to Allah. When we start talking about the need for justice, no people on this planet's need for justice outweighs black people in America, because no people have experienced what we have experienced. Our problem is not local. Our problem is not state. Our problem is not federal. Our problem is worldwide and world known. So we need a man that is world known, a man that is world renowned, and a man that was born to literally save the world of anyone that wants to see the new world that Almighty God Allah is implementing. So the reality of the situation is that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not just here to negotiate for black people. He's here to negotiate for all oppressed people. It's just that our negotiation talks must come first because we're the ones that have been without justice for so long.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's see. Do we have another question? Oh, okay. The Frankie said, when he asked that question, he said that those three would, the federal, local, and elected officials will basically negotiate for some group of Black American citizens. Thank you so much. Okay. Then the brother said, those local elected base officials should be charged with treason. So that's, those are questions or comments that are going on. Okay, hold on for a second. Okay, let me make sure we don't have any calls. Thank you again for your question. Okay, we don't have any calls at this time. Dropped, but hopefully he'll come back. Yes, sir.
All praise are definitely due to Allah. And again, anybody that's on the call that would like to ask a question or make a comment, all you have to do is press 1, and we will be more than happy and glad to bring you in. Now, the reality of the situation is that we as Black people, we are at the most critical and crucial time of our sojourn here in the hills of North America. And we cannot afford to be sitting down with our enemy and coming up from the table empty-handed. Now, as we said before, we don't have a problem with Black people wanting to meet with Donald Trump. Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And I don't think that there is any logical thinking Black person that does not understand that at some point we will absolutely have to meet with our open enemy to discuss terms of dividing up what is owed to us. However, we should not go into that meeting when it happens from a subservient standpoint, and we sure as hell should not go in there begging the enemy for anything. We have to go in there behind the man of God, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let him do the talking because he best knows what is good for our people. We have tried compromising. We've tried integrating. We've tried segregating. Nothing that we have done so far has worked. The only thing that we have not tried is separation. And the only group, the only man, the only agenda that's on the table talking about separation is the Nation of Islam. So we have to get behind the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan because only he can really negotiate for us. We have some wonderful Black minds that will be put to use when we separate, when we have a land of our own. But in order to get to that land, in order to get to that territory, we have to get behind the man with the plan that has been ordained by Almighty God Allah himself, and that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, sir. Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Okay. Hold on. Give me a second. They did. Okay, if anyone would like to make a comment, please push 1 at this time so I can definitely be notified to bring you in. Thank you so much. Okay, I think we have a caller here.
All praise the due to Allah.
2872. I feel like,
Walaikum salam, family. How y'all doing?
Fine, dear brother.
Just great. Yes, we're doing great.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. All right.
Okay, brother.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to ask you, what is the topic for discussion for tonight? I know I'm late, but I was doing my continual education classes. I got to renew my pharmacy license, so that's why I'm in the middle of studying.
Okay, well, you don't have to stay that long with this. Oh, go ahead, brother, or myself, and you can catch him up on the subject, and then I definitely read one or two questions that the brother wanted me to get his brother Maurice's point of view. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, we can get right into the questions, dear sister.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you. Okay, where was I? Oh, basically, let me go up a little bit. Basically, Brother Maurice, Brother Black Godhead question was, Brother Marcellus answered it, I thought, beautifully, but nevertheless, he wants your opinion or your viewpoint. Zulu has this Mr. Farrakhan on Facebook in front of the world. Are you serious? Have you lost your mind? Basically, he was discussing people who have, you know, they're not in the same category with Minister Farrakhan. And we were discussing, you know, the ones that meet with Trump. And basically, he said, oh, let me get this. I've got to read this. And he said his other portion of statement was, hold on, let me make sure I get out. Okay. The only person who is qualified to speak for black people at the table is Mr. Farrakhan. That is it. I love Brother Muhammad, but even him, I don't think is able to get us justice from the table.
So, okay. Can you kind of like put it in context? Because I'm still trying to figure out what's
basically we were discussing who was qualified to meet or to negotiate for black people. That's the name of the Brother Marcellus, title of his show. And the brother wanted to know, let me read from the, maybe I should start from his first question, kind of give you a better, clearer to his questioning. Okay, he wants to quote. Why would he ask them to? I'm sorry. Why would he ask Negroes? Why would you put them in the same sentence with Minister Farrakhan? Zaza is on Zaza on the level with Farrakhan. Are you serious? Then he went on to say, the only person who is qualified to speak for black people at the table is Minister Farrakhan. And quote, look, I love Brother Muhammad, but even him, I don't think, is able to get us justice from the table. Further, he stated on to get us justice at the table. Brother Muhammad is a hothead sometimes, but he is committed to us. But we have to have a skilled statesman that is Farrakhan only, in my humble thing, end quote. So hopefully they helped you by me reading almost from the top of the statement that the brother wrote.
Okay, so the brother, let me just make sure I get this all in context. The brother is saying that the only person that is a skilled man or who should be able to sit at the table to negotiate for us would be Minister Farrakhan, right?
Yes, sir. Right.
Okay, so what does Zulu have to do with that? Zulu is not Farrakhan. Making the connection.
Right, right. Go ahead, brother. My sense.
I'm from Brother Maurice and Sister Pamela. What ended up happening was when I made the comment. I said, you can tell what Donald Trump thinks about black people by the kind of black people that he is inviting to meet with him. And I said, he's not inviting people like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or people like Sister Zaza Lee or people like Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz and the Sister Soldiers of the World to indicate that he is not willing to meet with or talk to blacks that love their people unapologetically and are not willing to compromise the liberation of their people. And the brother, I believe, who's posing the question, he took that as me saying that Sister Zaza Lee and Brother Malik Zulu Shabazz are on Minister Farrakhan's level, when I was simply just making the point that Donald Trump would never meet with blacks that are uncompromising and unapologetically pro-black.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Okay, let me say this first. First of all, this is Brother Marcellus' program. And how Brother Marcellus answers questions that are asked to him is how he answers those questions. I don't know your motive for requesting that I come on to answer a question. Want any negative way, you know, so I'm taking this, I believe, in the best approach. Brother Marcellus is a very competent brother, and I believe what he says. I back up what he says. So his answer to whatever question you ask him is his answer, and I believe he's very competent to be able to explain his answer if he so desires. Okay? I think that there is nobody on this planet on the level of Minister Farrakhan. There's nobody on that level. Now, Brother Marcellus said he used the word like. And to me, in my understanding, or how I look at the word like is, you know, you're making comparisons. So if he said for you to go after, or why isn't he putting people like Zaza or like Zulu or like Sister Soldier, those people who already have a determination about what they want for our people. Now, if you get them at the table with Donald Trump, do I believe that they're competent enough to get us what we want? No. Do I believe I'm competent enough? No. I just don't believe that. Not saying that I'm stupid or saying that they're stupid, but I'm still, the Quran says young men for war and old men for guidance. Okay, so I think somebody made a comment about me being hot-headed. I am, depending on the situation and how many times you ask me a stupid question, you know, you may start to get up under my skin. So, you know, no, I know that's not where I'm at. That is not where I'm at. I know what to ask for or what to demand because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us that. So that's exactly what I would put down there as a demand and nothing else. But that is not my job. I'm not a statesman like that. So it's best if we stay in our places. You know, you have elected officials that are elected to represent their people. They're elected to represent their districts. Now the question is, are they doing that? Are they representing their people in the best manner? I know Trump said something about John Lewis. Well, is John Lewis representing his district? Is he getting what his district deserves? Probably not. I don't have the actual facts, but I'm going to say probably not. Because most, I'm not going to say all because I don't know all, but most, regardless of whatever, elected officials, when they get into federal offices, they do as the people who paid them to be there do, or as the people who paid them told them to do. So, you know, you're dealing with a big old different spectrum. And when you look at Zulu, and I think Sister Pam, you said he dissed Farrakhan on Facebook. He did do that. He straight up did do that. And I questioned him, and I know a lot of FOI and MGT questioned him, why would he do that? So, you know, I don't think that Zulu is a good rep at a meeting with Geraldo Rivera. And Geraldo Rivera had him backing up, had him twisting and turning. So, no, that's not his level. And I hope Zulu wouldn't try to put put himself in that position. But hell, in truth, I would have to say this, is that it is better to have a Zulu versus a Steve Harvey or versus Ray Lewis. It is better
That's
to have
right.
my fellas or Sister Pamela or myself better than Jim Brown. See, these people that Trump met with, they're entertainers and sports figures. We're the thinkers. Where are the people who have an understanding of the condition? Where are the people that can really put forth an agenda based on the needs of our people? None of them who went before Trump could say a damn thing because they don't have an agenda. They don't have a program. They don't even have a thesis of what we truly need as a people. See, because we've been in a situation where we've been always who come to the table, oh, Massa, give me this. Oh, Massa, give me that. What can I do, Massa, to make it better for you? No, that is not the to address the needs of our people. That is not the way.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody other than Farrakhan would be a damn failure if they even showed up to the meeting. They would be a failure.
Wow.
You know, just like Steve, Trump told Steve Harvey. Now you tell him, Steve, I said this, I said that. Now you tell him, you tell him. It being in front of the world. And Steve Harvey got the sad look on his face. Because they don't know power. See, when Stephen King, representative, said to Minister Farrakhan on Savior's Day, I think it was 96, and they were to bringing up these charges, and, you know, we're going to bring Farrakhan before the House of Representatives and make him answer these questions. But guess what? The minister said, don't threaten me, do it. And what happened? They backed up. They backed up. See, Farrakhan is not afraid of anything but God. So he will never compromise, not one point, not one comma, not one dot. Never, never will he compromise that. And that's the reason Trump will never meet with him. Because he knows for sure that the dog and pony show will not work. It will not work. So, you know, while everybody else is BSing and playing, this man been on his mission and has been doing it appropriately. The question should be, when are we going to respond as a people appropriately to the message that he puts out for us? That's the question. Because in reality, we are failing ourselves. Because we want to be more American than the American. See, that's what it is. You want to be more American than the American. You know, you wouldn't even have a title, quote unquote, you know, the Black God. You wouldn't have that even being a thought if it wasn't for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It would not be a thought in your mind. So why, if it would not be a thought in your mind, why wouldn't you follow the man that represents him? See, people will say Khalid Muhammad, they'll say Malcolm X, and they'll say this person, that person, but yet they won't do the work of them men. They won't go behind and follow them, those men. They won't do that, but they'll criticize the people that's following those men like they have some answers. Like they are scholars, and in reality, they're cowards. They're cowards because they don't want to discipline themselves to the rules and the standards that those men discipline themselves by. They're cowards, so they don't even have the right to speak their name in truth. And with that, I'll rest my mind.
Wow. You know, as normal, pardon me, Brother Maurice always comes through with the word of the day, and he definitely hit on all the key points. You know, the reality of the situation is that, and we just have to be frank with this, the Nation of Islam is the only game in town. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is the only leader that we have. I don't believe, matter of fact, I know that there is not another human being on this planet that has the ability and the qualification to sit down with the enemy of God and not ask him for anything, but tell him that if he doesn't do X, Y, and Z, then such and such is going to happen to him or to them. And we as a people, we have to start looking at this man Farrakhan with a much, much more closer eye, because we are making the same mistake that the followers of Jesus did. You know, we treat him like a lovely song. We say, oh, Farrakhan, be speaking truth. But we don't understand the power that is not just backing that man, but the power that is with that man. I heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say recently that my real power I don't show you. We're talking about a man that told us in 2013 to watch the weather. And every year since 2013, the weather has gotten much more unpredictable and it's gotten much more deadly. You're talking about a man that's connected to God and the Christ. You're talking about a man that if he asks Allah to send an earthquake to completely decimate California, it would happen. You're not dealing with an ordinary man. You're not dealing with the prophet of yesteryear. You're not dealing with a messenger or an apostle or a disciple of yesteryear. You are dealing with the Messiah in the flesh. So as Brother Maurice just said, Trump knows not to meet with Minister Farrakhan or even ask him for a meeting, because he already knows what we want. And the mere fact that he is hesitant or reluctant to meet with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that shows you that he has no interest in what black people really desire and what black people really need. Trump is no different from any of his predecessors. They don't give a damn about what we want. All they care about is keeping us at the bottom, because they know that black people are the foundation of their world. Our oppression equals their success. So again, we love our brothers that have met with Donald Trump. We have nothing against you meeting with Donald Trump. But if you're not going to go in there with an agenda and be strong black men, then why in the hell are you even going to the meeting? Stay your behind home. But if you don't want the critique of the black community, then don't go before white people on our behalf. Because just as sure as you go out there and act as though you represent us, we're going to rip you a new one when you come back empty-handed. We're sick and tired of so-called strong black men cowering before our open enemy. At this time, I understand that we have some questions, dear sister.
Yes, sir, we definitely do. And again, I would like to thank Brother Maurice for coming on and setting things straight. And exact. Praise be to Allah. Okay. From, I believe, Tranchi says, quote, if their representatives are not representing them, then why do blacks continue to vote? And over and over and over for them. Okay.
All praises are due to Allah. You know, the reality of the situation is that our people still lack knowledge of self. And our people, everything that they think, do, is geared towards the preservation of this world. You know, and being that the enemy is the one that is feeding them mentally, spiritually, and morally, that anything they think about doing it in the scope and in the realm of the enemy's world. So to some of our people, governors offer a safe haven. To some of our people, aldermen and mayors and other politicians and athletes and whatnot offer them salvation. But our people are going to quickly have to come to the realization that the only salvation for us is Allah in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And the sooner that we figure that out, the better, because we're not going to get out of this using the same system that's responsible for keeping us in this.
And that's why I hate when people say, oh, you don't like the system, become a judge, become a politician, become something so that you can change it from the inside out. Black people have been pastors. Black people have been politicians. Black people have been astronauts. Black people have literally infiltrated every known fabric of the social society of the white man, and our condition still has not changed. So evidently you can't change it from the inside out. You have to change it by separating from them and letting God do what he has to do to them.
Yes, so you have maybe one more. You have some more questions. So let me just try to get them in as fast as possible. Steve Harvey net worth is about $200 million. I think he is speaking business. The Nation of Islam don't have any schools other than about two.
All praise are due to Allah. I think that, you know, when we're speaking on things, we have to speak actual facts. And the reality of the situation is that the Nation of Islam not only has farms and trucks and whatnot, but the Nation of Islam currently is involved in international trade. And furthermore, with Brother Steve Harvey being worth $200 million, having a net worth of $200 million, why hasn't he and Ray Lewis, who may be worth about 50 or 60 million, and Jim Brown, who may be worth a couple of million, and all of those black pastors, why haven't they pulled their money together and met up with other superstars in our community and started buying up the neighborhoods? You see, you don't have to go to white folks to talk business. You can talk business amongst your own people. Asia don't go to the government. You don't see Asians and Jews and Italians going to Donald Trump to talk business because they practice group economics among their own people. So if he was talking business with Donald Trump, surely that business would not have been beneficent to us. So, again, we don't have any problem with any of our brothers going to meet with Donald Trump. What we are saying is that in this hour, which is the most crucial hour of our sojourn here in America, anyone that goes before white folks, you have to expect to be critiqued by your community because the world is going to assume that you are representing us. And we are waking up, and we don't want our name behind individuals that may be tap dancing for the enemy. So if you're going to talk business, talk it amongst your own people first and then worry about others. Black folks don't need to talk about business to white folks when we have a $1.1 trillion spending power. And dear family, at this time, we thank you all for such a wonderful show. We're coming to our conclusion. We ask that Allah bless everyone that was listening in. And you can tune in, catch us next week. This week, we had to start a little late. We started at 8:30 this week, but next week, we will be back to our regular scheduled timing of 8 p.m. So same time, same station next week. I thank Brother Monique. I thank Sister Pamela. And may Allah just bless all of us. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.